in Alaska corporate law. If this deletion were to make it into law, it appears to me that, our ability to look to the well-developed set of law under the Internal Revenue Code would be removed, and we would now be pretty much at the mercy of looking to the lesser body of law in the state of Alaska, which, if we were to search for guidance, would require more regulations, which would imply a broadening of the state's requirement to provide information, which kind of appears to be contra to lessening the burdens of government. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Materno, could you just state your name for the record and your affiliation? And then also, do you have your testimony in written form that you could send in to us?
Madam Chairman, my name is John A. Laterno. I'm a CPA in the state of Alaska. I work for a firm called Thomas Head & Greisen. And while my testimony at this time is not in a form that able to be submitted, I can reduce it to writing, and I would be happy to provide it to you.
Would you send it to our committee here, then?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much. Representative Cockhill?
You said that you had some technical amendments. Can you send that with your testimony, please?
Yes, I would be happy to, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. And in Cordova, we have Mrs. Jenny Weathers.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Tell us who you are and who you represent. And give us your...
Okay, Madam Chair, I represent myself, and at this time, Jenny K. Weathers. And I also brought my husband, Eric Weathers, because we live remote. Only one of us is able to travel across the bay to Cordova, and he asked if I may read his also.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'll start with Eric Weathers. Madam Chair, the state can only tax something they create. They cannot tax people because they did not create them. The state can tax corporations, individuals who work for the state and municipalities because their source of income was created by the government. The state may tax the permanent fund because it is state-owned and created. The only thing a tax will do is to make more government and more government spending, and can only be paid by those who are employed and or benefit from that government. An unconstitutional tax on private businesses and people will generate more tax-consuming public servants and welfare. If a tax is to be imposed, it must be apportioned. For example, if I pay $100, everyone else will each pay their $100. When government taxes we the people, the government becomes the master and the people the slave. The IRS cannot tax a private person's just compensation without deceit, and neither can the state. Remember that the people created the Constitution and government for the people's use, and it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government if the government becomes too repressive. I strongly urge you not to impose an unconstitutional individual income tax. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and that was by Eric Don Weathers, and it is written if you would like a copy sent to you.
Yes, would you please send a copy to us?
Okay, I've just handed it to the LI. Oh,
thank
representative.
You.
Okay, now this is mine, and it's also written. It is from Denny K. Weathers. Madam Chair, the Constitution of the United States of America recognizes two classes of taxes. The first one is the direct tax authorized by Congress under Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union according to their respective numbers. And Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, no capitation or other direct taxes shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. The second one is indirect taxation, authorized by Congress under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excise to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, excise shall be uniform throughout the United States. The state of Alaska also recognizes direct and indirect taxes, and I believe the state also recognizes franchise taxes, too. Franchise tax, an annual tax on the privilege of doing business in the state, a tax on the franchise of a corporation. All three taxes mentioned above are constitutional taxes, but HB 91 is not a direct tax, nor an indirect tax, and it does not fall under the franchise tax. what type of tax is contained in HB 91. Our government in Alaska seems to want to reward the unproductive and penalize the producer. Politicians have been writing laws designed to confiscate the fruit of the working people's labor and use those confiscated dollars to buy the votes of the unproductive. This is wrong, and we the people are realizing that. Just remember, tax protest is our American political heritage. It was tax protesters who formed our two greatest documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution for the United States of America. Our first four presidents were notorious tax protesters who were criminals under the laws of England. The Revolutionary War fought between 1775 to 1783 was for many reasons, and the Declaration of Independence lists those reasons. Interestingly, one of those reasons was, and I quote, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Is it time for another revolution? I strongly urge you not to impose an unconstitutional individual income tax. Madam Chair, please could your committee answer my two questions stated within my testimony, and do you have any questions for me? Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, and would you send us your written testimony to Representative Olson?
Right, and I would hope, Representative James, that I could get an answer back on those two questions, and thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, Representative Olson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can't speak for the committee, but I can speak for myself that if we have an income tax, I'd certainly like to see a vote of the people, so we do it with your permission.
Thank you.
Let's go on to Matt Sue for Mr. Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to testify. First, let me give a brief summary of the three bills, 89, 90, and 91. Briefly, no, no, and hell no. And then I'd like to comment a little bit more specifically on a few things in each. one comment, I was quite taken with Mr. Condon's presentation. It was very helpful. Somewhere, though, I missed in Econ 101 that the idea that supporting bloated government is good for the economy. On House Bill 90, the idea of using an advisory vote, as I said, I'm very much opposed to this. These three bills together constitute sort of a cry wolf approach to our financial problem. And the advisory vote, if we're going to have an advisory vote, there's one principle that we should adhere to, and that I'm a firm believer in that the people should have as much government as we're willing to pay for. And if we're going to have an advisory vote, I think it'd be very helpful to put together an advisory vote and listing the services and the tax consequences of those services. I think that would be very beneficial to the legislature to identify the key things that the people are interested in and then bounce that against the governor's budget. I think that would be very helpful for you. In regards to House Bill 90, as far as the actual appropriation of money, no at this time. One of the problems that we have with this whole process is, and I agree with Mr. Condon, that we do need a long-term plan. The long-term plans I've seen to date have one major flaw. All of them have been put together by people who have had their hand in the till. And if you want an objective view of what you really need in your budget, you need to get some people who aren't benefiting from the budget. You know, don't turn to the universities and to the administration to tell you about how much money they need. I think almost another inviolate principle of government is there is nothing so innovative as a government employee protecting his job. And then lastly, on the House Bill 91, the income tax, I am one of those fat cats who's in the over $50,000 tax bracket who is presently paying 90% of the taxes. And, gee, I'm really getting tired of paying for national defense, for Medicare, Medicaid, the Native Hospital here in Anchorage, and for all the subsidies of the Bush, and gee, I'd really like a little help. And for that reason, I really think that a income tax is a very unfair way to go. What these three bills represent is, as I said, a cry wolf approach to the present problem. I think Mr. Condon very expertly has shown you the worst case approach. To me, the a little bit more moderate view is that we probably have, depending upon the level of significant cuts that the legislature will make, probably 5 to 7 years. And in fact, I can solve your budget problem for you in an afternoon with coffee breaks. All you have to do is take the revenue in, go ahead and give the amount of money up to the cap out of the budget reserve, and then take an across-the-board cut, hand it to the governor, and make him do his job as a financial manager. But in terms of the length of time that we have, we need a real good committee to come together, and at that time, then, we need to identify what the long-term needs are with that priority that we're willing to pay for. And I do believe that a long-term revenue approach is a good idea, and perhaps at that point we look at a tax. But I think the governor is taking advantage of the crisis, in quotes, of low oil prices. And thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Roy Carlson. I live in Wasilla, and I am representing myself.
Thank you, Mr. Carlson. And then we have one more in Gakona, Alan LeMaster.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's pretty low.
Hello. Are you there?
Better.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for allowing me to testify. I just, more than anything, I have a question. Referring to, I believe it was Representative Ogun's comment that we live in one of the most socialistic states in the country, I have a problem with us installing an income tax. The income tax seems to me to be very repressive against the people who are the producers of this state. The people that go out and earn a living have to seem to pay for everything, and those that don't go out and earn a living seem to find a way to take the money that is given by those who are earning a living and live off of it. I always have a question in my mind if we have to have a tax. I'm not convinced yet that we do, but if we do have to have a tax, why we are always talking income tax in order to raise the necessary funds, when in fact, if we were to consider a sales tax, the sales tax would be taxing the people according to their ability to purchase. If you purchase a lot of things by virtue of the fact that you make a lot of money, you're going to pay more taxes, and if you purchase fewer things because you don't spend so much money, then you would pay fewer taxes. However, everybody would pay their fair share according to their ability to buy. I think a consumption tax might be a much more equitable tax for us to use. Many, many states across the country are using it quite effectively. I just traveled to Hawaii and then subsequently on business to Texas. Both of those areas are well ingrained in sales tax, and they find it a very good way to raise funds for their governments. I would be just like to be on record as saying that I very much disagree in an income tax, because I think it is discriminatory against the wage earner. Thank you.
Mr. LeMaster, could you state your name and where you live and what your affiliation is?
Yes, my name is Alan LeMaster. I live in Gakona, Alaska, and I'm representing myself.
Thank you. Now, just a couple of minutes left here, and I have four people who have called in from Juneau and wanted to put their comments on the record. So I'll just say what their name is and their message, because they're very brief, and we can be done with this meeting. Steve Irwin and Charlotte Carroll say no to taxes, get spending in line with income. That's what households have to do. Dennis Piper says a damn it no to income tax. We are taxed enough, sales, property, and hidden taxes. Cut back on spending. If you must, use money from the permanent fund to reduce the deficit. Alvin Evans expresses great displeasure about the proposed tax by the governor. No taxes, cut spending, or add 2 cents for gas tax so everybody pays. He could go for a flat tax, which would be equitable and fair for everyone. Greg Giroux says against tax, getting spending down. Get spending down. There are lots of places that can be cut. More cuts to the arts, for instance. He could accept a small gas tax, like 2 cents a gallon. So we've had a couple of hours of real enlightening information, and we'll be back here. Yes, Reverend Rogers?
This is Commissioner Condon. If you could bring some additional information.
Okay.
Briefly, I know we're up against the clock here. You showed us a chart that showed the states that don't have income tax or the states that don't have sales tax. Would you be kind enough to provide the per capita spending of those governments, of those particular states as well, and maybe compare it to ours, both in...
Madam Chair, I can try to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, you know, we can discuss the format of the next time. I would like to hear more about the permanent fund thing. We just did the taxes today, and so maybe if we could kind of do an overview on that come Saturday morning, and we'll take any testimony we have. Thank you very much for coming and presenting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And meeting is adjourned.